Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this word. Lord, I just ask you to cause me to be able to be quiet and that I would be able to be sensitive and hear the Holy Spirit and speak what you would have me to speak this morning. That we would hear a word that would make a difference. That we would receive a truth. That something that would change our lives and we would walk out of this place with a takeaway that would work. It would make a difference. And we'd see more of you in every day, in every hour of our life. We give you all the praise, thanks, glory, and honor. And everybody agreed and said amen.
Amen.
Amen. In Romans chapter 8, about 30 years ago, I was running from God, running from the things of God. I was 21 years old. And I picked up a Living Bible at the end of my mess. And I opened the Bible and I began to read. And these words in Romans chapter 8 out of the Living Bible, I began to read and I began to see myself. I want to read this morning. And maybe there's some folks here today that will say, well, that really speaks to me too. In verse 15 in Romans chapter 8, excuse me, Romans chapter 7, in verse 15 it says, I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I don't want to, what I hate. I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong, and that my bad conscience proves that I agree with these laws I am breaking. But I can't help myself, because I'm no longer doing it. It is sin inside me that is stronger than I am that makes me do these evil things. I know that I am rotten through and through so far as my old sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. Now, if I am doing what I don't want to, it is plain where the trouble is. Sin still has me in its evil grasp. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned, but there is something else deep within me, in my lower nature, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead, I find myself still enslaved to sin. So you see how it is? My new life tells me to do right, but the old nature that is still inside me loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament I'm in. Who will free me from my slavery to this deadly lower nature? Then all of a sudden, all that whining, all that being real, all that reality comes to two sentences of reality that says, thank God. It has been done by Jesus Christ our Lord. He has set me free. Now, as Pastor's been talking to us about our nature and the nature of the reality of the fact that we've got to be a church that understands that people can come just as they are, that we come just as we are. And I can remember way back then, as I read those words, I didn't think I had ever read anything that was more explicit in explaining my predicament than those words. I wanted to do right, I just couldn't do it. I wanted to do what I knew was right, but I couldn't find myself doing that. I didn't want to do the wrong things, but I kept giving in to them. Then it got down to the end, it says, but thank God it has been done. And I remember in that point in my life sitting there thinking, okay, if it's been done, why am I not experiencing that? Why is it that this sin still has me in its evil grasp? Why is it I'm seeing so much more of the old nature than I am the new nature? Why is it such a struggle? Why is it? And then I went for about 5 years there in trying to figure out how to separate my old nature from the new nature, how to walk in the new nature and not continue to give to the old nature, and have for these many years since then dealt with that off and on, and I'm sure we will till we see Jesus face to face. Because the truth of the matter is, we're in this fleshly body. We're in this world that is Satan's dominion. He has authority in this earth. We have authority over him, but it just is his world. And we have to deal daily with those things that come up that are not like God, that are not like the nature of God, that are not like the kingdom of God, that we have to deal with. And we find that our old nature tries to bring us to that. I don't care how old we are in the Lord, how successful we've been in the Lord, how far we've come in the Lord, we still have to deal with our old nature. It's just a daily part of who we are. And I can remember struggling with this and saying, God, what is it? And I wrote this as I was thinking about that. Paul said in his writings, he said, I am the chief of all sinners. Paul knew something about this. This is what I wrote. What Pastor's vision is endeavoring to do is to create an atmosphere where men and women can be who they are. Where men and women and boys and girls can be who they are. Loved by the church and not judged. Able to be honest about their sin without the judgment, then able to be changed by life in Jesus Christ. That is the process. The Word says that we are victorious, that we are overcomers. The Word says that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Word says that we can come to this place of victory. But the reality is we are where we are, each one of us, in this place where Paul says, daily I'm fighting this thing. Daily I'm dealing with this. And then the question was asked, where is faith in this? Now, since then, of course, a couple of weeks ago, I brought us the message where we talked about that faith is the fuel for the process. That there is a process that we are in from the day we become born again to the day we see Jesus Christ face to face. And then probably throughout eternity, there's going to be a place to learn. There's going to be a place to grow. Because I think God is so awesome that we'll never, ever be able to grasp the fullness of who he is. It'll take eternity to do that. And eternity is forever. So forever, we'll be continuing to grasp the fullness and the reality of who God is. But I began to think about this, and I began to think back to my days when I went to Bible school. And I remember class on faith, Faith 101. In the book of Romans chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 16 through 22. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him who believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Okay, let me just kind of nutshell it here. We're talking about Abraham. Abraham was called the father of many nations. Abraham was in his 100 years and was still not a father. And in the natural, it didn't look as if he were going to be a father. Sarah was beyond her years of bearing children. But Abraham believed God. And the Word says he called those things not as though they are. Abraham continued to speak that he was going to be a father. Now, can you imagine being Abraham beyond the years of child birthing and Sarah being beyond the years of child birthing and the negative that must have been spoken and how hard it was to remain in faith? But Abraham continued to call those things which be not as though they are. He didn't talk about the way things were. He talked about the promise of God. The promise of God for you and for me is that we are victorious. The promise of God for you and for me is that we can overcome sin. The promise of God is that we are healed. The promise of God is that our provision is made. That we have what we need. And a lot of people have taken this message and blown it all out of proportion in that we can have all this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful stuff. But most of us are down where the rubber meets the road, and we're believing God daily for our daily bread. Amen. And our prayer is, give us this day our daily bread. And God blesses us, and we're thankful for that. But the truth of the matter is, if we're not seeing the provision of God, then it's coming against our faith, coming against the fuel for the process. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. It made him in right standing. He believed God beyond where things were in the natural. He believed he was going to be a father. And then eventually, boom, it happened. Sarah had a baby, and yes, life has been different ever since. Abraham became the father of many nations, and he is our father today, Abraham is. Then I began to think about that. I began to think about Noah. Noah trusted God. Noah believed God. Can you imagine the stuff that Noah must have heard when he was believing God? When God said to him, I want you to build an ark because there's coming a flood and it's going to do something in this world that's going to change things. And Noah began to build that ark. And you can imagine the stuff that he heard, the things that went on. But Noah believed God anyway. Noah built the ark and yes, boom, it happened. Rain came, the floods came, the whole earth was destroyed. It was a disastrous thing. But Noah believed God. And his faith was there. He believed God. He called those things which be not as though they were. He knew he was building an ark for a storm that was coming. Nobody believed it. It looked ridiculous. The animals came. I can't imagine what that must have looked like to all those people, seeing those animals coming. That was supernatural. And then when the rain came, and it had never rained before, and all of that was going on. Can you imagine? And people still stood there and mocked and scorned. And you can imagine what he stood up against. Then I began to think about this. This came to me on the way here this morning. I began to think about the woman with the issue of blood. And I thought, you know, Lord, there's a bunch of us today that's got some issues. And this woman... And you begin to think about, and you think about Abraham believing God for a baby, Noah believing God for the ark and the floods and all that was going on. And then there's this woman with the issue of blood. And this is what she said, if I can but just touch the hem of his garment. And I began to think about her this morning. I've been saying, Lord, you know, I'm going to relate to her probably greater than the others because I've got some issues. And Lord, I need to stir my faith. If I can but just touch the hem of your garment, I'll be made whole. You see, life says to us that we're not going to make it. Our issues say to us, we're never going to change. Our issues say to us, we're never going to be different. Our issues say what Romans chapter 7, what we read verses 15 all the way there to the very end, that I'm going to struggle, I'm going to fight, I'm going to this, I'm going to that. And I'm here to say to all of us today, if we'll just take our issues and touch the hem of his garment, we'll be made whole. That woman pressed through that crowd. Nobody knew what she was up to but her. Nobody knew she touched the hem of his garment until she did it. And then Jesus stopped and he said, who touched me? And the disciples and the people around him said, Jesus, all these people, everybody's touching you. He said, no. Somebody touched me with faith. Somebody touched me with faith. Calling those things that be not as though they are. She was not whole. She was not healed. But her faith reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And when she did, that issue was changed. That issue was changed. I don't know what your issue is today. I know what my issues are. And I'm seeking God to touch the hem of his garment. Because I've got some issues that need to be changed. I've got some issues that need to be dealt with. I've got some things in my life that I know got to change. And the only way they're going to happen is if I can, with faith, touch the hem of his garment. We talked about that faith was the yes of God. In Hebrews chapter 11... Hebrews 11 in verse 1, it says this. This is what reminded me of my class on faith, Faith 101. It says this, Hebrews 11, verse 1. The first word is now. It didn't say yesterday. It didn't say tomorrow. It says now. Faith is. You see, there's a lot of us that think about, well, if we could go back to the way things used to be, it was a lot easier. Or if I can get through today and just down the road, then it'll be easier down the road. But the Word of God says that now faith is. Now. It's not past tense. It's not future. Now. Today. Right now. Where you are. Where I am. With what I'm dealing with. With my issues. With my situation. with my life, with your situation, with your issues, with your life, where you are right now. Now, faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, calling those things which be not as though they are. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I was in a meeting many years ago, and I heard an incredible man of God describe what that means in such a way that makes so much sense to me. And I'm going to try to share this with us today. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said, right now, instead of trying to figure all that out, he said, let's think about this. He said, if you're in a room, like we're in this room today, and the temperature is whatever the temperature is. To some, the temperature is cold. To some, the temperature is not cold enough. And to some, the temperature is just right. So, you know, that's just the way it is. It doesn't matter what room you're in. If there's a thermostat, somebody's uncomfortable. And that's just the way it is. But, you know, when you think about that thermostat, say we're in a room and it's 83 degrees. And everybody's starting to fan, and it's getting warmer and it's getting warmer. Then someone goes over to that thermostat and they begin to pull that thing down, and they pull it down to, say, 75 degrees. And then something begins to happen. That thermostat is like faith. It's calling those things that be not as though they are. Because when you put it down on 73, how many knows it's not 73 right then? But when you pull it down on 73, it begins a process that begins to change things in the room that will bring the temperature down, and the desired result becomes real. And that's what faith is. Faith is, okay, Lord, you said in your word that I am healed. I'm believing that I am healed. My symptoms, my situation, my circumstances, my voice, my coughing, what's coming up, all of that indicates that I'm not. But Lord, I'm going to believe in those things that be not as though they are, stronger than those things that be. My body says I'm sick. But I thank you, Lord, that your word says I'm healed. So I'm going to believe your word beyond what my circumstances say. The scripture that I think of is, and I remember this in the early 80s, we learned this song that says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Surely he bore our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. That kind of pulls everything together. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He bore all our sorrows, and with his stripes we were healed. Now, in the natural, I'm not dealing with healing in the natural. But you see, I've got to say today that, Lord, I thank you that 2,000 years ago, provision was made for me to be whole, for me to be healed. And so, Lord, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I am whole. I am healed. And I'm pulling down the thermostat. There may be a process here, but see, faith is the fuel of my process. Lord, I trust in you greater than I trust in the way I feel. I'm going to believe in you greater than the way I feel. Come back to Romans in the sin issue. And we talk about the things in our life that are not like God, the things in our life that we struggle with, the things in our life that we're not seeing victory over. Lord, I thank you that because of Jesus Christ, my iniquities were dealt with. My transgression was dealt with. I am not a slave to sin. I pull down the thermostat. And Lord, I thank you. Your word says I'm whole. Your word says I'm free. Your word says I'm delivered. Your word says that I don't have to walk as a slave to sin. In the natural, I'm dealing with the thoughts. In the natural, I'm dealing with the failures. In the natural, I'm dealing with sometimes the legacy of what's come down through generations. In the natural, I'm dealing with all kinds of things. And sometimes I'm, and sometimes I don't. But Lord, I'm not going to be moved on my successes or my failures. I'm thanking you that Jesus Christ paid the price for me to walk in freedom. And I'm calling freedom in. I'm bringing down the thermostat to freedom. And I thank you by faith, I'm going to walk through this process. And faith will fuel my life and give me the ability to walk into freedom. Give me the ability to walk into that which you have for me. In Hebrews chapter 4, listen to this. Start with verse 1. For as long then as that promise of resting in him pulls us on to God's goal for us, we need to be careful that we're not disqualified. We receive the same promises as those people in the wilderness. But the promises didn't do them a bit of good because they didn't receive the promise with faith. If we believe, though, we'll experience that state of resting. But not if we don't have faith. Remember that God said, exasperated I vowed, they'll never get where they're going, never be able to sit down and rest. God made that vow even though he finished his part before the foundation of the word. Somewhere it's written, God rested the seventh day having completed his work. But in this other text, he says, they'll never be able to sit down and rest. So this promise has not yet been fulfilled. Those earlier ones, he's talking about the children of Israel when they were going through the wilderness. Those earlier ones never did get to the place of rest because they were disobedient. God keeps renewing the promise and setting the date as today. Now faith is. Just as he did in David's Psalms, centuries later than the original invitation. Today, please listen, don't turn a deaf ear. And so this is still a live promise. It wasn't canceled at the time of Joshua. Otherwise, God wouldn't keep renewing the appointment for today. Now faith is. The promise of arrival and rest is still there for God's people. God himself is at rest. And at the end of the journey, we'll surely rest with God. So let's keep at it and eventually arrive at the place of rest. Not drop out through some sort of disobedience. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense. Laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one is impervious to God's word. We can't get away from it no matter what. What that's saying to us is simply this in closing. There's a place of rest for us. Paul talks about here in Romans chapter 7 the struggle of not being able to be free from the old nature. The struggle of wanting to be one thing and experiencing another. Wanting to do right but continuing to do wrong. Wanting not to do wrong, but continuing to find himself involved in that. In that, there is no rest. In that, there is no rest. So we bring it all back to this, that faith 101 says, now faith is. Say that with me. Now faith is. One more time. Now faith is. So wherever you are now, faith is the substance. Faith is the thing that's going to bring us into what all God has for us. Faith is. Faith in God. Not in myself. Not in what I've done right. Not in pastor. Not in you. Not in faith in God. That in Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, the price was paid for us to come into the fullness of all that God has for us. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Whatever the thermostat of your life is right now, and you know that God has something greater, then let's begin to turn that thermostat down and by faith believe God, one step at a time. And he said here, some folks will fall out because of disobedience. There are times when we are disobedient. We find ourselves doing the things we don't want to do. Find ourselves saying the things we don't want to say. Find ourselves being involved in things we don't want to be involved in. And that atmosphere is designed to cause us to give up and quit. But you see, we can't be in faith if we quit. Faith never quits. Faith always says, I'm going to turn the thermostat down and I'm going to call those things would be not as though they are. I'm going to call myself whole. I'm going to call myself delivered. I'm going to call myself free. I'm going to call myself what God has provided for me. I'm going to call myself that all my needs are met according to his riches in glory. There are times, y'all, and I know what this is like, that you sit down at the table and you're working on your bills and you're saying, Lord, there's no way I'm going to make it this month. They're going to come turn out my lights. They're going to come, you know, I don't have anything they can take anymore. I don't know what else to do, Lord. I'm not going to make it. But Lord, I thank you that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And somehow, some way, it works. It works. That day when my engine fell out of my car, the first thing I heard is, don't let this get your joy. See, because if I let it get my joy, then it's got me. And I fall back in that place and it'll hinder me from being able to hear God. It'll hinder me from being able to see God. It'll hinder me from being able to know the path that God calls me to walk in so that I can see the provision come so I can get the car fixed and go on. It's just the reality of where it is. When my car broke down, I'm telling you, there was just a second I thought, oh no. And then all of a sudden, don't let this steal your joy. I said, okay, I won't. I won't. I won't let this steal my joy, Lord. I don't know what the answer is. You know, get the price of $1,200 to get it fixed, the price of $750 to get it fixed. It didn't matter to me. Neither one was, I mean, both was just beyond my grasp at that point. But in 2 weeks, I saw the provision of God because I didn't let it get my joy. You say, well, Mike, what else, you know, what's down the road that's going to come? I don't know, but that step, that part of the process gives me fuel for whatever's next. Whatever the enemy throws my way, whatever life throws my way, whatever my heritage throws my way, I can say, God, you got me from that point. And just like with the woman with the issue of blood, I'm just going to continue to touch the hem of your garment, knowing that faith is the fuel of the process, that you have provided for me victory, that you have provided for me freedom, that you have provided for me wholeness, health, everything that I need. And in the natural, if it doesn't look like I'm going to get it, I'm going to hold on. I'm the only person that I know who can be unemployed, and I'm making more money now than I've ever made in a long time. Not ever made, but that I've made in a long time. And money's coming. And I'm telling you, I know it's because of years of obeying God way back when I didn't know that I was laying the seed for. Obeying God in my giving way back when, so that in my time of lack, God would be able to pour out his windows of heaven and pour out blessings on me that I don't have room to contain. It's been amazing. I'm in awe of the goodness of God. Some people say to me, Mike, how do you make it? And I say, well, I must be God's favorite. But it's by faith, church. I'm not anything special. I've not done anything greater than anybody else in this room. All I can tell you is God is faithful to his word. God is faithful to what he provided for us 2,000 years ago. And if you won't let life pull you down, if you won't let life make you stop, if you won't let life make you quit, if you'll just get up and keep going, you're going to see the salvation of your God. You're going to see the thermostat work where it'll bring to the room that temperature of God that you so desire and so need. You're going to be able, like the woman with the issue of blood, say, I touched the hem of his garment and I was made whole. And then he will stop and say, who touched me? Who touched me? And then if it gets to the point that God calls us to believe him because he wants us to build an ark, or he wants us to be the father of many nations. I'm over the father stuff. I'm getting ready for the grandpa stuff. But whatever it is he has for us, then we can trust him in it. Because we've taken it one step at a time. And that our faith is the fuel for the process. That what he says in his word, he's able to do. And then in Hebrews there, it talks about in Christ, there is a place of rest. Rest. And we all should be able to find that place of rest in our minds. Amen? Amen. 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 There's a bunch of people sleeping this morning. But that's all right. Let's stand and pray. Lord, I hope I said everything I needed to say. I hope I trusted by the Spirit, and Lord, that you were able to speak through me today, not moved by what's going on in my chest or throat. But God, that you can take this word and put it in our hearts, and that we'll leave today knowing that we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. You said that the just shall live by faith. You said that without faith it's impossible to please you. So we choose to be people of faith. Whether it's great big things or whether it's simple issues. Whatever it may be, Lord, find us in faith. Find us trusting you. And in that place, we know that we'll find a place of rest. That, Lord, will be a witness to a lost and dying world. Not so that we can boast of what we have or who we are or status or money or anything like that. But Lord, we can find a place of rest in you that will speak life to a world that has no rest. that has no peace. Some of them got more money than any of us will ever consider even having. But Lord, they have no rest and they have no peace. Let the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ shine through our lives, that a lost and dying world may know that you are who you say you are, and you're still doing what you said you would do. And that we, by faith, will find ourselves trusting you, because now faith is. And you find us walking in it. In Jesus' name, amen.